It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Dave Solvenson. Dave is Senior Director for Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation in Washington, D.C. Dave, great to see you.
Oh, happy to be with you today.
Well, let's just jump in. There's plenty of hot topics, but trade seems to be one that has not just agriculture, but nearly every industry concern.
Well, yes, it does. And there's several issues going on. A couple of the main ones are related to the U.S. imposing tariffs on imports from other countries and the prospects for retaliation. And what's happening right now is that the U.S. has decided to go ahead and impose tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese imports, primarily of communications, aerospace products, electronics, you know, a lot of industrial products. And those tariffs, at least to the greater extent, most of these products will go into effect on July 6th. Well, this has been the result of a process that started back in March. And there were hearings and there were comments put in, and Farm Bureau and other ag groups put in comments warning against the dangers of potential Chinese retaliation. You know, we don't really have much to do with the products that we're worried about in technology transfer in China. That's not really an ag issue. But China said they will retaliate against these tariffs by putting their own 25% tariff on a whole variety of U.S. Products that are exported to China, including ag products. And on the list are soybeans and corn and wheat and beef and cotton and sorghum and orange juice and cranberries and other things. So, of course, China being one of our biggest markets and over $20 billion a year, so important to so many of our commodities, that's a big deal and could have a lot of impacts. And we could potentially start facing that in the weeks to come. Now, what you hope is that, you know, these are pressure tactics and that the Chinese and the U.S. will sit down, work on the underlying issue, and that these tariffs will never have to be imposed or they'll come and go quickly. But overall, right now, it's looking like the U.S. agriculture is going to face 25% export duties going into China in the near future.
You mentioned in there sorghum. And when we talk sorghum, China, we roll back into February, and U.S. gets hit with that 187%. And then they rescind that. The point is, they did it once, and it really affected. What happened with sorghum, does that factor into any of this that's happening now?
Well, what happened with sorghum is also an explanation of, I think, bringing pressure. Certainly, it shows what happens when there is retaliation, because that Chinese market went away. And sorghum cargoes that were at sea had to find a new home at a discount. Those were in place for a little over a month. Right before and during the discussions that the U.S. had with China in May, they were rescinded. And so the sorghum product can move if there's a market there. But now we're seeing ahead for sorghum, say for the next crop and the next marketing time, that potentially there'll be this 25% duty. So what will that mean to the market? So that's, not good news potentially for sorghum exports, obviously, but it also just shows that tariffs and duties and these things are used and can be used sometimes for political effect, as we're seeing right now.
Well, you mentioned the political effect. Let's move to some other tariffs announced this time by the U.S., steel and aluminum tariffs, on a couple of, three good trading partners.
Yeah, they first came out, but the administration announced them back in March to apply to everybody that we buy steel and aluminum from, with several exceptions. And so, China wasn't one of the exceptions, and they put retaliatory tariffs on pork and fruit and tree nuts and wine and other products back then, and those continue. But a lot of other areas and countries did get exemptions, such as the European Union countries, Canada, and Mexico. Well, so that went on for a while. There was further discussions. The administration made a deal with a couple of countries like Brazil and Argentina, South Korea, that they would engage in voluntary, basically, limits on the steel they send to the U.S. But other countries weren't willing to do that. And so on June 1st, the exemptions for Canada and Mexico and the European Union went off, and so now they'll be paying. Well, Canada is our largest exporter of steel and aluminum to the U.S. Mexico's right up there. Germany, of course, in Europe is a huge steel exporter to the U.S. So these are hitting those economies. And they've published retaliation. It has, right around July 1st, retaliation on a lot of U.S. exports, including a lot of U.S. ag products, will go into place. For Mexico, they're targeting pork also, along with several other products, but that's one of the big ones. The European Union has a very overt political slant to what they do. They've targeted, you know, bourbon. Well, that's for Senator McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader from Kentucky. So he gets on there. Speaker Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, he gets, they've targeted Harley-Davidson motorcycles, which are made, of course, in Wisconsin, and cranberries. Wisconsin produces about half the country's cranberries, so he gets a couple. And other products like that, rice and several other products are on that list. Canada's list is more food-oriented. They have things like beer and pizza, yogurt, other products that are more like, you would think, consumer-ready products on their list. But their primary retaliation is in the metals and steel and aluminum, not so much on the ag. So agriculture is caught up in this discussion to an even greater extent, and we'll be feeling the impact. And some of these tariffs are in the 20% range. Most of them are from these countries. So as time goes on, if these come into effect, and it's the same dynamic as with China, are they going to be willing to talk, try to do come to some accommodation and agreement on the steel and aluminum issue, or do the tariffs have to go into effect and start impacting U.S. agriculture and farmers and ranchers?
You know, it really makes me think of last week, I believe, when the G7 got together, and watching President Trump and Prime Minister Trudeau from Canada sitting there smiling. We've got great relationships. But yet when they break, it doesn't seem as though those relationships are great. It's really strained. Is that in due part to where we are on NAFTA?
Well, I think that's it, because the NAFTA talks have gone to a point where right now, I think within the NAFTA construct, we're in a bit of a standstill. And some of it's due to a couple things. Now, the issues with autos and auto trade is still hard. And I don't think that's quite been settled. And there's other issues, such as the U.S. wants to have a sunset clause of some sort, whereas trade agreements would go, you know, basically would end unless they were reviewed and redone. Canada and Mexico don't want that at all. Farm Bureau doesn't want that. We see when you do a trade agreement, you need the certainty of having it be in effect. You can review it, but you don't want it just automatically to end. So that's a big dispute, and that was part of the dispute last weekend at the G7 conference between the U.S. and Canada. And there's other issues around dispute settlement and government procurement. So there's a lot of tough issues, but I think also until they get the autos issue, how much auto manufacturing is done in each country. The U.S. is trying to bring auto manufacturing back from Mexico into the U.S. Of course, the Mexicans are not too thrilled about that. So that's a hard discussion. So until the tough issues get done, you can't move ahead. Like, say, on the ag issues, such as our dairy issue with Canada. We've got a couple with them. And until we get done with some of these other issues, it's hard to get to that. And also, the idea of the steel and aluminum tariffs potential, you know, there's a process that's begun that could take place this fall to for the U.S. to impose tariffs on autos. And, of course, Canada and Mexico are huge exporters of automobiles and auto parts into the U.S. There's a lot of other issues that are kind of swirling around the NAFTA discussions that also affect Canada and Mexico. And even though you may want to keep them separate, They're all in all the negotiators and leaders' minds. So they're all kind of caught up together. So there's a lot of stuff for people in trade, in business, and those affected to focus on over the next several months.
And for agriculture, obviously, producers, the different commodities, very concerned about this. What What advice would you give back to producers who could easily get caught up in this and get to the point that they're so pessimistic that I'm done for?
Yeah. Well, what we've been trying to do, and I think everybody has taken mine, there are underlying issues in this that need to get resolved. These tariffs and a lot of this is meant to bring pressure. They're a tool. And I think we just need to encourage our political leadership, both the administration and in Congress, who's watching, that those concerned, get settled down, try to work out the underlying issues. The business disruptions of putting on tariffs affect people, as we've said, like in agriculture. They have nothing to do with the issues, and they certainly are causing a lot of uncertainty and nervousness. But we also want the underlying issues solved. These have been going on a long time. They need to be dealt with. So see if they can come to some kind of an answer and move on from this.
It's always good to see you and hear your insight. If we wanted to follow what Farm Bureau is doing when it comes to the issue of trade or anything else, where do we go?
Well, a couple places, especially the best place is our website, where we have all kinds of articles and news on what we're doing on this and what's happening the latest on trade. So www.fb.org, and you'll get clued into the latest of what's going on.
Again, it's Dave Salmonson, Senior Director for Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation in Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.